Hello, everyone. It's Michael Jaco with Unleashing Intuition Secrets. We'll talk today about the possibility of atomic bombs being used in American cities and what would instigate that. So we know that Russia has warned the United States multiple times about atomic bomb use, right? So tactical nukes and so forth. When I was in the SEAL teams, I learned to work with tactical nukes. I could jump in a tactical nuke, free fall in a tactical nuke, and me and another partner could basically, with a timing system, activate this tactical nuke, and it would go off. It's a B-54 SADM, SADM. So anyone can look that up. B-54 SADM is no longer a top secret thing. So it's out for everyone to look at. So I know a lot of people talk about how there were fire bombings that happened in Dresden, Germany, and Tokyo, Japan, and that the atomic bombs were just firebombing. You know, I've been around, I've trained for most of my career to work with atomic weapons. I have, you know, we watch videos of atomic bombs going off. There's obvious atomic bombs that, and their results, you know, as far as like radiation sickness and so forth, that were documented after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There's lots of, you know, correlations that, you know, atomic bombs have been used. And you look at the most recent Fukushima, basically the nuclear power plant, when the tidal wave came in and disrupted that the power plant, and you know, caused a massive radiation spill into the ocean that was measured, right? And the same thing with Chernobyl, massive radiation leak. And the effects that happened to the people that were trying to contain that, definitely radiation, you know, problems. So it is a real thing. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of disinformation that goes on out there, you know, the Earth being flat and blah, 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 all the different things. Now, I don't think the Earth is completely round, but it's not completely flat either. So there's lots of, you know, theories out there that, you know, atomic bombs are just, it's nothing. Don't worry. Atomic bombs, they're not real. They won't be used. I think that's a very unsafe road to go down, right? So Russians have warned, just like we warned the Russians in, during the Cold War, when they were starting to put nukes, or we thought they were putting nukes on Cuba, in the Cuban Missile Crisis. So we warned them that that was going to get very dicey for them. And so they pulled those missiles out. So now United States is talking about sending nukes to Poland. So that's obviously right next to Russia. And Russia is warning about that, just like we had warned Russia back during the Kennedy years. So it wasn't long after that, of course, that Kennedy was assassinated, because a lot of the warmongers, I guess, wanted to go to war with Russia, but he basically backed off on that. So now the warmongers are pretty much in more firm control, right? So United States, being an industrial military complex, that was pointed out by President Eisenhower. President Eisenhower before that was like the top military commander, right, for the United States during the European war. So probably knew a few things, right? Probably saw a few things. And I'm sure that Patton probably saw a few things, and that's why they assassinated him. So he ended up paralyzed in the hospital, and he was doing all well. And then they're like, oh, for your protection from the press, because I guess the press was like, you know, hounding him. They were like so happy that he was still alive. They put him in a basement room, and he mysteriously died. All right, so these, you're going to see mysterious deaths from people over time that I have been pointed out, other people have been pointed out, that basically start to point out the Nazis. So the Nazis did not lose World War II. As we have found out, Operation Paperclip just basically moved those Nazis around the chessboard, right? So they're moved from Germany and moved elsewhere. And a lot of them were moved to the United States, where they continued their operations, continued a lot of things that we know today are tied to that very evil and corrupt Nazi power. So the Nazis have not gone away. The Nazis are domestic enemy now. So here in the United States and in pretty much every country in the world, we have these domestic enemies that are running the show. We know that, but there are people that give them cover, unfortunately. And this has happened throughout time. The Nazi Party thought that the Democrat Party of the United States was very efficient in their control over people. So we saw the Civil War here in America started by the Democrat Party, and the Republican Party, if you will, stopped it out. But they still had the last word, because they had this one gentleman that shot Abraham Lincoln after the war was over and killed him. And other people in Abraham Lincoln's cabinet were attacked, one of them very viciously. And surprisingly, the former Democrat vice president that Abraham Lincoln had chosen survived. The guy that was supposedly going to assassinate him decided at the last minute not to do it for whatever reason. So that's the story anyway. So that Democrat basically started to undo all of the things that President Abraham Lincoln had done to basically make sure that the Democrats, the Nazis, basically did not get back in power, right? So that was taken out. Now we see Democrats are back in power again in a very, very evil way. They're doing lots of things like bioweapons. So bioweapons, they're not a new thing. Bioweapons were used against American Indians. They infected blankets that were used for trading. Polio virus and the American Indians who had not had any polio, they basically came down with polio and wiped out a lot of Indian tribes. So it's not anything new. Bioweaponry use is not anything new. Now, cholera, which is basically a diarrheal illness, and it used to kill many people in the past very quickly. Estimated 1.3 to 4 million people around the world get cholera each year. 21,000 to 143,000 people die from it because it's very fast acting. Now, we see when there's like hurricanes and so forth, or floods or so forth, drinking water can become infected. Now, usually it's infected with the excrement that comes from humans. And that's what was infecting many people in Europe before the turn in the late 1800s, throughout all those cities that started to build up through the Industrial Revolution. So the wells that used to be clean because people were basically flushing their toilets, I guess, and it was just going into the ground. It reached the groundwater and then started affecting the wells, and people were dying from cholera at massive scale in Europe. So they finally figured out what that was, and they started treating the water, and then cholera was not a problem. It still is a problem, obviously, but not the problem it used to be, where it killed, many, many, many people, right? So from that, so all the way to the turn of century, 1891, I think, was the last cholera epidemic that hit Germany. So fast forward a little bit into the early years before World War II, the Germans had a typhus outbreak, right? So they started in the 1930s, they started putting people in camps so that the infected people didn't infect the other people, right? So typhus is supposedly transferred by fleas. So they were claiming that fleas in a certain area were causing this problem. So they would evacuate the people from those areas and cleanse those areas. Of course, a lot of those areas were, like we have found out, were Jews, but not always Jews, right? Christians, gypsies, you name it, were also put in concentration camps. So in these concentration camps, they were supposed to, go through a process where they were cleansed and so forth. They went through, as we know, showers, right? And some people didn't make it out of those showers. And then sometimes people would, go into special parts of camps. Like in this one article that I read where they did the research on Buchenwald, right? So Buchenwald, basically, this is in Poland, was a prisoner and also concentration camp for people that were sick. All right, so they had block 46, which had 90 beds. And in this hospital block, they did experiments with typhus. So they injected people with typhus. So this was the deal. So people that were in the regular concentration camp, a lot of them would die, because the food was very scarce, the hygiene was very low, was bad. They were worked very, very hard. So there was lots of death in other areas of the concentration camp. And we've seen some of those bodies where people were emaciated, right? So that was going on. So it was slave labor for Germany, a lot of these concentration camps. So this was very, very similar to what they were going to do here in America. Start to create concentration camps. In fact, they had it on the bill in New York a couple of different times, but we brought attention to it, and they pretty much shut it down and it didn't go forward with it. So they were moving this direction. Of course, we had the COVID-19. So let me pull you back to the Block 46. So in Block 46, it was a hospital for patients who had caught typhus in the natural way, and a station for research on human subjects with experimentally induced typhus. How do they do that? Well, they would take someone with typhus, they would take the blood from somebody with typhus, and they would inject that into healthy people. All right, so people that were in this ward, they were usually prisoners serving sentences for criminal offenses. So the medical staff, if you will, did not have any, they didn't care. They didn't care about these people because they were, bad people. And so they were trained, and so they were taught. So they didn't care. They called them basically guinea pigs. Human guinea pigs are, and the Germans call them Kaninchen. So prisoners serving sentence for criminal expenses, their loss did not evoke concern on the part of the authorities. Volunteers, i.e. prisoners who were so emaciated, physically and morally exhausted, that they volunteered for the treatment, even though they were aware of the dangerous effects of typhus injection, because they were going to be well fed, and they wouldn't have to work, and they were going to be in there for 3 months. So they had all of the medical, stuff that you needed to treat, to help keep people healthy, whereas in the rest of the camp, that wasn't available. And it wasn't available in other parts of Germany because of, the war and the process, so forth. But they put a lot of attention on these particular wards, if you will. So sadly, and then thirdly, they had political prisoners who were selected for these experiments, but not on a voluntary basis. So they didn't get a chance to volunteer. So their political prisoners spoke out against the Nazi Party, then they got experimented on whether they liked it or not, right? So the experiments had two aims. The first was to preserve and propagate the bacterial strain. The second concerned the experiment in the strict sense of the word. The strains came from naturally infected typhus patients. So they were making records of these patients. The human experiments were conducted simultaneously on a large number of prisoners. So in this particular camp, a total of 950 prisoners were artificially infected with typhus in Block 46. The death rate was 9 out of 10. That's right, 9 out of 10. So the Germans, the Nazis, were doing experiments, injectable experiments on people. So does this sound familiar? Fort Detrick and Wuhan Lab and so forth. So thousands suffered and lost their lives to obtain such insignificant results. So when the Allies came, they basically destroyed all of the, or supposedly destroyed, the information. So the Allies didn't have a chance when they liberated these concentration camps to find out, you know, what it was, what was in them. So this was not an unusual case in this particular concentration camp. In every concentration camp, they were conducting these experiments, right? So now when the Nazis basically, you know, lost, like we talked about, you know, they went to other places. There was an underground, not literally underground, but figuratively, there was an underground thing that went through the Vatican, and through Italy as long as they could until the Allies basically started to overrun Italy. They got in submarines and went to, as we know now, down to Antarctica and to Argentina. So there's the Bavarian villages in Argentina, and we know that there's underground facilities that has been talked about by a lot of people over time in Antarctica. So the Japanese also had one of these as well. So I don't know if the Italians had this going on, but it seems like all the Nazis during World War II were doing this. So the Japanese Nazis were doing covert biological and chemical warfare from Unit 731. And they did it in China, in an area of China, northeast China. So they had basically, Japanese had raided and took over parts of China during the Second Sino-Japanese War, 1937-1945. So during this time frame, they killed an estimated 200,000 to 300,000 people. So the experiments included disease injections like the Nazis were doing in Germany, controlled dehydration, biological weapons testing, hypobaric pressure chamber testing, vivisection, organ harvesting, amputation, and standard weapons testing, meaning that they would take a live subject and shoot them with different caliber weapons and see the effect. And these people were not sedated, right? Victims included not only kidnapped men and women, including pregnant women and children, but also babies born from the systemic rape perpetrated by the staff inside the compound. So the same thing, the Japanese considered their subjects as subhuman, and they were subject to anything they wanted to do to them. All right, so Unit 731 produced biological weapons that were used in areas of China not occupied by Japanese forces, which included Chinese cities and towns, water sources, and fields. Estimates of those killed by Unit 731 and its related programs range up to 500,000 people. So none of the inmates in basically Unit 731's responsibility area survived. None of them. So in the final moments of the Second World War, all prisoners were killed to conceal evidence. So after the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they basically cleansed, just like the Germans did as the Allies approached and destroyed all the evidence that they could. All right, so I've done shows where we talk about Plum Island and Kevin Hoyt, the governor of Vermont. So we have talked about, he has brought this to my attention, and I've done the research deeper also. U.S. Pentagon is told to investigate claims that Lyme disease is escaped bioweapon from Cold War. So they also use ticks to infect the livestock of Russia, right? So biological warfare. So Germans used these ticks on in the surrounding fields, doing the cattle and so forth, causing cattle to die. So the U.S. House of Representatives has ordered the Pentagon, this is many years ago, this is back in 2019, and then we had COVID, and I don't know what happened to this, right? The U.S. House of Representatives has ordered the Pentagon's Inspector General to conduct a review of whether the Defense Department, because the Defense Department is basically serving the deep state. And the way I know this is because my YouTube channels were taken down, right? So for 35 years, I fought for free speech for America, but that was only to protect the deep state. So those of us that are conservative, like you, my audience, and myself, are not allowed free speech on YouTube. But college campuses have free speech. So I don't think any of those college campus students that are protesting for a terrorist unit group and fighting in Israel, Hamas, I don't think any of it, I'm pretty sure none of them, did any kind of, protest against conservatives having their free speech taken away. Pretty sure that didn't happen, right? So this demanded review by New Jersey Republican Chris Smith passed easily among a raft of other late amendments to a House bill. But where is it now? Where is it now? So it's been suggested that the U.S. government facilities, including Fort Detrick, Maryland, and Plum Island, New York, were turning ticks and other insects into bioweapons. Into bioweapons. Like the bioweapon COVID-19, right? So there's lots of different transmission ways they can put that out there. Okay, so now we know that Russia came into Ukraine and discovered lots of bioweapons. And the bioweapon, probably one of the reasons why the Russians wanted to go into Ukraine was to basically take those bioweapon units down that were in Ukraine. And because they were learning how to create bioweapons just for specific groups of the population, Russians, and specifically, so bioweapon use. And what happened to Germany with their bioweapon stuff? Right. So we came in and basically hammered it pretty hard. So let's go into why nuclear weapons are used. Tactical nuclear weapons possible being utilized in the near future, which I've seen and I've talked about for a long time before anybody else did. I said that I saw that probably a tactical nuke would go off in Poland. So Poland getting U.S. nukes, right? They have agreed to, accept U.S. nukes in Poland. And then let's say a tactical nuke goes off in Poland, which I've seen. And they blame it on Russia, right? And then Russia probably figures out, no, that was a U.S. weapon-grade weaponry. So let's look at... 1945, July 1945. The War Department, so they strategized. They strategized because the war with Germany was over. And the war with Germany was over, and they started to focus on Japan. Now, lots of things caused the war to go to be over with Germany. One of those was the bombing of Dresden. So the bombing of Dresden was an aerial bombing attack of the city of Dresden, the capital city, German state of Saxony, during World War II. In four raids between 13 and 15 February 1945, 772 heavy bombers of the Royal Air Force and 527 of the United States Army forces dropped more than 3,900 tons of high explosive bombs and incendiary devices on the city. The bombing and the resulting firestorm destroyed more than 1,600 acres of the city center. Up to 25,000 people were killed. And then there were three more air raids after that. And then a smaller raid on 17 April. So the Germans basically surrendered not long after this. So in March 1945, the German government ordered its press to publish a falsified casualty figure of 200,000. And death tolls as high as 500,000 have been claimed. These inflated figures were disseminated in the West for decades, but it was actually, we are saying, the victors are saying it was 25,000. So who knows really? Who knows really what it was? So this came early after the Battle of the Bulge, where Germany had an offensive, and they were very, very successful with this offensive, but finally stalled out because they didn't have enough fuel, and then it got shut down, and then the bombing of Dresden happened because they were like, we gotta like go heavy, I guess, on these guys, and that's what happened. So the early in 1945, that was like shortly after December 25th, the Christmas and or New Year celebrations, I think, were going on, and then the Germans rolled in Battle of Bulge. So it was, you know, basically came down and hammered Germany. So that precipitated the ending of the war. So then the Allies started to focus on Japan. So it wasn't long after that February bombing that they bombed Tokyo. So the U.S. military on the night of 9 through the 10th of March, 1945, Operation Meeting House was the single most destructive bombing raid in human history. 16 square miles, or 10,000 acres, of central Tokyo were destroyed, leaving an estimated 100,000 civilians dead and over 1 million homeless. So the atomic bombing of Hiroshima in August 1945, you know, had quite a significant amount of death after that. So let me look at that. So the bombings killed between Nagasaki and Hiroshima between 129,000 and 226,000. And so that's 6th and 9 August. And we said we're going to keep bombing cities until you surrender. And so on the 15th of August, 6 days after the bombing of Nagasaki, they surrendered. And Soviet Union declared war on Japan and invaded the Japanese-occupied Manchuria. And I think some islands, too, of Japan, which I think they still control. So they fooled them because I think we only had two bombs. That's what I've understood. And a little history on that is the USS Indianapolis, which was a heavy cruiser, basically delivered the bomb. So in 10 days, it basically went from, let me see where it was. Let me see how this went down. So it if I remember correctly, it was like 10 days. They basically went from, I think San Francisco is where they got it. The atomic bomb parts and basically transport it in 10 days to Tinian. Yep, San Francisco. So Indianapolis traveled from San Francisco to Tinian, a little atoll in the Pacific that we liberated in only 10 days. So after they delivered the parts, so no one on it, it was a completely secret mission. And so the USS Indianapolis was by itself, had delivered the parts to the atomic bombs for both those Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And then they were supposed to go back to the Philippines. So they headed back to the Philippines, and a Japanese submarine spotted them and shot two torpedoes at it and sank it. So there are 1,200 people, 1,200 men on the Indianapolis. 300 of them went down with the ship, but there were still 900 left. But for 4 days, no one knew anything about the Indianapolis. They were radio silent because there was a secret mission. And the only way that anyone survived at all was a Navy patrol boat was flying by. Naval patrol aircraft was flying by and spotted them. So they didn't have enough raft or, you know, boats, you know, kind of like the Titanic. And it's probably because it sank so fast, they weren't able to get all the boats off. So a lot of guys were in the water holding on to the sides of the boat. So the boats were, the rubber boats were filled as much as they could be with men. And then men hung onto the side of the boat, of all the boats. And some were injured, you know, unfortunately, and so forth. And probably bleeding in the water. So sharks showed up. So for those 4 days, those 900 men got whittled down by the sharks to a little over 300 men. Very tragic. So, and then on top of that, they said the commanding officer wasn't zigzagging like he should be. So they court-martialed him and found him guilty. He got reduced in rank, but eventually went back up in rank to an admiral. And then he retired as a rear admiral, and they committed suicide in 1968. That's so strange. I wonder if he had two bullets in the back of his head. So very, very, very strange stuff with the atomic weaponry use, right? Very, very strange stuff. So that's just one of many things that is a problem. So Kevin Hoyt and I have talked about this one woman, Cindy Liu, who's basically, you know, having J6. She was there at J6, and she was a little girl, a two-year-old little girl that was on an aircraft in the 50s, late 50s, that was basically, I think, taken down because it had a guy on it, Dean, I think his last name was, that was part of the Atomic Commission and was in charge of, you know, doing the hydrogen bomb. And Oppenheimer, I guess, was under attack, and he basically, you know, supported Oppenheimer, and he was all about, you know, doing Nazi tribunals, and he died on this plane crash. 33 people died. 33 died in this crash. I think it was up in New Hampshire or something like that. And Cindy Liu basically, completely no clothes on, stripped of clothes, was wandering around after the crash, and they found her with like pine straw on her body. I guess she'd gotten blown from the aircraft. Her clothes are blown off. Strange, right? But no marks on her. Her mother was burned beyond recognition. They had to use dental records to recover who that person was. It was her mother. And this one guy that had died that was obviously the target that brought down that aircraft. And they'll kill a group of people to get one guy. We know that. So he didn't have any marks on him, but yet he was dead. And they said it was from a heart attack, right? So always strange stuff with this atomic stuff, guys. Always strange stuff. All right, so now let's go into how many people, how many men potentially would have died if they didn't do the atomic bombs, right? So let me give you a little history, because I went through SEAL training. I went to one of the last UDT teams, UDT 12. There was UDT 11, UDT 12, and I think the East Coast had UDT 22. I can't remember correctly, but I had to do the research. And you know, some. It's funny because I had my Trident on one time when I was doing some other work, and this young SEAL comes up, and we're all, there's this thing about, you know, diming out people that are fake SEALs. So he comes up to me and he says, what team, when was your buds class? So that's the first thing everybody asks. So I was like 116. And he's like, well, what teams were you with? And I was like, you know, UDT 12. And he says, when did it turn into SEAL Team 5? Because I was there when it turned into SEAL Team 5. or SEAL Team 3, whatever it was, I forget. See, I don't even remember. I think it was pretty much SEAL Team 5. So SEAL Team, UDT 11, I think went completely away. Yeah, it was SEAL Team 5. So anyway, I'm telling him, I don't know. I was like, friggin', knock, I don't know. It was like, I figured it was like prop, because I just went to a course and I came back and I think it was like 80. Or something, 83. So it was like, so he's from SEAL Team 5. And so he's like, not you're a phony, like whatever. So I was a UDT 12. We eventually worked that out. He figured out that I was real. So it was, but it was funny watching that, those slow wheels turning that young man. But anyway. So UDT team started in 22 November 1943, and it was basically, the reason why is because in Tarawa, so I remember this in my SEAL training, but I have to like go back and make sure I get it correct. So those SEALs that are young guys that want perfect dates and names and so forth, a chain of 16 atolls and coral islands of the South Pacific Ocean, the Gilbert Islands, Tarawa Landing. In one of those Gilbert Islands. So a submerged reef caused amphibious landing craft to founder far offshore, resulting in the loss of hundreds of U.S. Marines. So basically, they didn't realize how far that coral reef was. So they came in, and they just assumed, oh, this is where the beach starts or whatever. So they dropped the ramps. The Marines, with all their gear, and weaponry and, you know, all over them, ran off to go fight, and they're trudging through the water, and then it went deep. And, you know, it's not easy to get gear off once you sink. So they lost hundreds of Marines, and then enemy fire, drowning and so forth. So there, it was a long way out. So enemy fire like reduced them, drowning reduced them. It was a mess. So there was an Admiral Turner, commander of the 5th Amphibious Group, decided that 30 officers, 150 enlisted men, would learn to be underwater demolition team members. So the first group of UDT 1, UDT 2, saw their beginning. So Kwajalein Island in 31 January 1944. The reason why I'm telling you this, and all the different islands that the UDT guys, basically, when I was in UDT, we would come in two days sometimes before the Marine landing, and we would do a hydrographic survey from the 21 foot all the way up to just the shoreline, right? And then we would mark any underwater obstacles or anything like that. So obstacles were also, as we started to do this island hopping in the Pacific, they started to put up Japanese scullies, what they call Japanese scullies, which are basically metal posts that stuck out. It's like a triangle type thing. It would burrow into the sand from the wave action. And the boats would come in and they'd be like ripped open, or they couldn't get past them or whatever. And the same thing happened in the Normandy invasion too. So guys blew up those obstacles as well, UDT guys. So they basically started doing Inuitok, Saipan, Guam, Tinian, Peleliu, Leyte, Gulf, Zambales, Iwo Jima. Now, Iwo Jima, when the Marines landed, you remember Iwo Jima where they, like, you know, the Marines raised that flag on the top of Mount Suribachi? I think that's the name of it. Might be wrong. But on top of it, because they fought their way all the way there. So battleships, planes bombing, artillery. It was a mess because the Japanese were dug in. They had underground bunkers. And that's where the flamethrowers, was started to be used in these underground bunkers. So they just, like, they wouldn't surrender. They'd fight to the death. So instead of, you know, having casualties going in to, like, you know, drive them out and get all shot up, they started using a flamethrower on these underground bunkers. So, and tunnel systems. So that was, now that is, like, not allowed because it's, like, inhumane. But back then they used it. So the reason why I tell you this, and the reason why the atomic bombs were used on Iwo Jima, there was a 5-to-1 ratio, that being for every Marine that died, there were 5 Japanese died. Now, in normal combat, that's a good ratio. Now, in Ukraine, I think it's like 10-to-1 or maybe 15-to-1 or maybe even higher now. So the Ukrainians are losing massively against the Russians. But during this time frame, when they do calculations, they do war planning, if they can see something like that, that, you know, no death is good in anything. But when you're in combat, you're trying to take out people that basically are causing bioweapons and experimenting on people like the Germans and the Japanese were doing. And they seem to be doing again, not necessarily Japanese, but the Nazis right here in America. Then we have to go take them out, right? So it was 5-to-1 at Iwo Jima. And then in Okinawa, they were dug in more. They were closer to Japan, and they fought even more viciously. So it was 1-to-1 by some accounts in Okinawa. So we're getting closer to the mainland. So we figured that they would fight even more aggressively. They would have better defenses and on and on and on. So the attrition rate that they saw, if we invaded the homeland of Japan, homeland island Japan, there would be 400,000 to 800,000 U.S. dead, 5 to 10 million Japanese dead, and 1.7 to 4 million U.S. casualties total. So that means wounded and so forth, right? 4 million U.S. casualties and 10 million Japanese dead. So this is why war planners will look at the possibility of using tactical nuclear weapons. Because instead of having all those U.S. casualties and Japanese casualties, they decided to drop the atomic bombs. So there's all kind of arguments about that, like I said. But that is basically the gist of why nukes are used. Now, getting back to why I think there is a possibility that nukes will be used here in American cities, right? So there's lots of things that are starting to point in that direction. right? One of those is that Trump talked about building 10 freedom cities, and he talked about flying cars, right? So you got to throw something stupid in there. So he throws off the game a little bit. Now, he said that these freedom cities will be built, futuristic freedom cities, to be about the size of Washington, D.C. So they're not going to be the size. Washington, D.C. is a small city compared to Dallas, San Francisco, New York, right? So he talked about building 10 of these futurist cities in American National Parkland. So National Parkland is far away from U.S. cities, right? So if I were someone that was going to fight the Nazis, which the Russians are, and things were getting so out of control. So remember, they used COVID on us. COVID bioweapon here in America. So you guys that think that our government is looking out for us, it should be very clear at this point that that is not the case, right? That is absolutely, unequivocally, undeniably not the case. They used bioweapons on us here. And then when people got sick and went to the hospital, they made sure they died with remdesivir and intubated them. So the intubation remdesivir rates of survival were like, I think, 10%. If you went on that, you're basically going to die. It's almost like that, when the Nazis were injecting people with typhus, isn't it? 9 out of 10 of them died. So what did they say? We have to, get these these real bioweapon, even more deadly bioweapon injections. Kind of like having typhus injected, right? So lots of people have died and lots of complications, millions and millions and millions around the world. The death rate is steadily climbing for people that got the COVID vaccination. And then, unfortunately, those that have had more and more of those vaccinations, their rate of survival is even lower. So we know, just like in Nazi Germany and Nazi Japan, the Nazis here in America have been using bioweapons against us, right? It's still continuing because the Nazis didn't lose. They just moved somewhere else, right? We thought they lost, but they didn't, all right? So they have reestablished themselves, just like in Civil War days where the Democrats were pretty much decimated, and they have reestablished themselves, haven't they? So remember, the Democrats were, Hitler was like, those guys are badass. I want to be like the Democrats, right? And he did a good job of that. I don't know, maybe he did a better job than Democrats did. But through Operation Paperclip, now we have all of those Nazi Democrats all working together, right? So the Nazi Democrats are trying to start a nuclear war with Russia because their bioweapon didn't work the way they wanted it to. They didn't decimate us the way they wanted to. They didn't genocide us. So I know a lot of people are like, the U.S. military, remember, I was U.S. military and worked for the government for 35 years. And I can tell you that during that time frame, I was making sure the deep state, I was making sure that and all military members in the United States were making sure the deep state was protected, right? You have to understand that. It's been very hard for me, and it's very hard for other people. And in fact, once a lot of veterans find this out, they commit suicide. That's the highest. That's why suicide rates are so high. So it is very troubling once you realize this. And it's very troubling, and it's very hard to talk about it, right? But it has to be talked about because what causes a war to end? It's when the people basically rise up and say enough is enough. They enough pain is inflicted that people are like, that's enough. We're not going to put up with it anymore. Has enough pain been inflicted here in America? I would say absolutely not, right? Absolutely not, because we still have the people that caused the problems are still in power. So obviously there's not enough pain. I can point this stuff out, but what happens? I get my YouTube shut down. Imagine if I still was able to still talk on YouTube. Imagine if I had been able to pass, don't get the shot. Don't get that shot to many, many millions more people. And these are the things that will keep you safe. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, all the stuff that I was putting out, and basically I got shut down for. And many, many, many others did as well. So here we are at the point where that operation, reached its pinnacle. And now they're going to move to the next level, because somebody released something called Omicron, which basically shut down COVID. It's like everybody got Omicron that hadn't gotten COVID and built up an immunity, and it wasn't that bad. Remember the Delta variant? That was even more virulent and more deadly. And we're like, oh, shit. And then Omicron came out. It's almost like somebody knew. It was an unusual variant that came out. So even though there are, these evil ones that are out there and causing problems, there are people that are making an impact in any way they can. But to believe that they're in complete control is not good. remember Trump and Melania went to Russia, and Putin gave Trump the ball. It's like the ball's in your court, the soccer ball, remember? So how much has Trump been able to do? He aborted a civil war. Would a civil war have stopped out the Nazi Democrats so that they wouldn't have gotten in charge? It wouldn't have basically funded and pushed and made this war against Russia happen. So now we get to the point, unfortunately, where because that didn't happen, Russia might be forced to basically take action because they're going to be attacked. So the way I see this is possibly playing out is that a nuke goes off somewhere, maybe in Poland like I saw it, maybe somewhere else, maybe on the battlefield, and it's blamed on Russia. And then that gives the NATO forces the green light to go full in and to start using tactical nukes against Russian forces, right? And then maybe one of those tactical nukes finds its way onto Russian soil and blows up. So what do you think is going to happen after that? Well, then nukes are going to start going off in Europe and the U.S., right? So those 10 new cities that Trump talked about, maybe they've already gamed out. They're going to lose 10 cities here in America through nuclear strikes, right? So I've said for many years that I see many, and I call them deep blue Democrat cities in America destroyed. And that basically a cordon is set up around those cities. Now, could that be from a nuclear explosion that happens in those cities? And basically they're isolated from that point because of radiation. And then anyone that comes out that survives and comes out, you know, I saw people coming out and they were taken care of, right? And I thought they were basically just Democrat cities because they're turning into hellholes anyway. They just got so bad that, you know, we just, you know, cordoned them off. And like, you want to live there, you live there. But what if those cities are going to get nuked? Because, again, a lot of you are like, our government would not allow that. Our government wants to destroy us. They would relish nuclear strikes on the United States because they want the United States destroyed. We know that. All right, so we're reaching a game point, game, set, match, right? So, I mean, just use your own imagination, which cities. So we already know that the Nazis are causing the problem in Ukraine and trying to take down Russia. So where are the Nazis at here in America? I've already outlined who the Nazis are. It's the Democrats, guys. The Democrat-rich cities, which hate Trump. Trump, we've said this over and over again, is all these brainwashed people do not like Trump because they have been told by their Nazi Gestapo leadership that they cannot like Trump. And they're, of course, in New York. You notice how Trump left New York and moved to Florida? So in New York, they're even talking about throwing him in prison. And all of the, what's that one witch show where all those women, Whoopi Goldberg and all those women basically, you know, have their say. Now, in a communist country, which we would go to if the Democrats have complete and total control of the Nazis, then Oprah Winfrey will not be able to talk out against the government. She would be executed. She would probably go into one of those places where they do the experiments, right? So she thinks she's appeasing her masters. No, right? No. So The View. Is it The View? Yes. Thank you, Hugo. And Tucson Dawn. So yeah, The View is basically, I really think those are all witches, very evil. But they get to say, they hope that he goes to Rikers Island. That's the best place. And they're trying to figure out which would be the worst place for Trump to go to prison. New York, guys, that if there's going to be a strike, New York, DC, maybe Miami, you just take your pick, you know, obviously, Chicago, obviously, San Francisco. A lot of people left San Francisco, maybe LA, maybe Dallas. Dallas is, Democrat rich. So I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen. I pray that it doesn't happen. Even though, you know, I feel like I've been, you know, I've given most of my life to protecting the deep state. And at some point it has to be removed, I think. Then what goes forward? You know, what doesn't? And once a nuke goes off, you know, what's a Jetstream doing? Now other things could happen as well. We know that these guys have, they have HAARP and they have directed energy weapons and so forth. Of course, they have nukes. So Fukushima was probably from a nuke that was set off the coast of Japan because of disruption, because of that tsunami. Right. So would they do the same thing on the California coast? I have seen that. All right. Not necessarily that they set off a nuke, but that there is a massive tsunami that happens in California. So now that's something they could do. Now with the latest, basically the moon going before the sun, the eclipse, that's a walk through some of the something. So all of the areas that are having all of the storms right now are the areas where the eclipse went, right? So this is something that has happened throughout time. I talked about this on another show. So it usually happens a little bit afterwards, several months afterwards. And that's the last time this happened in the, I think, the early 1800s, where there was the sun was in a sunspot activity was less, and we're in a grand solar minimum, where temperatures are getting cooler. There is a winter storm that is hitting Hawaii, I think right now, which is dumping 6 inches of snow on the peaks in Hawaii. So the winters are extending. They're coming later. They're extending. And this is because we have the solar activity, sunspot activity is decreasing. Now, we just had some solar flares, like four in a row that just happened. So here it is. It's Friday, May 10th. So starting later this afternoon and into tomorrow, these solar flares are supposed to hit. And these solar flares, when they hit back to back to back like that, are probably going to cause all kinds of disruptions. And they can also cause earthquake activity. Now, if earthquake activity were to start, then you could actually increase that activity if you have HAARP, because it's a frequency. If you directed HAARP or directed energy weapons there, which we know they're doing a lot of that stuff already, right? We see Lahaina, and of course, all along the coast of Malibu, they did direct energy weapons. Paradise, California, that city was basically devastated by direct energy weapons. Down in Chile, they did directed energy weapons down there. Up recently in Oklahoma, Texas, Panhandle up in that area, they just did direct energy weapons and basically set off fires. So they have these direct energy weapons, and they can cause even more mayhem with them, as we're seeing. So the directed energy weapons are almost like a little mini atomic bomb going off because of the destruction they cause. So it is going to be very interesting going forward. So what's that about Derek? Yeah, Derek has kind of talked about some of these cities too. I don't know what his. I remember he talked about it, but I'm not sure if he. I haven't conspired with anyone on this show, so I'm kind of like out on the limb here. Yeah, so Derek was going to go down to Gitmo. You know, things change in a war, guys. So, and I'm not justifying that, you know, he didn't go down there. I was looking forward to it. There were a lot of us talking about it. SG Anon was talking about it summer of last year. It didn't happen. So who knows why. So Trump's hanging out with Trump at, yeah. His lookalike, yeah. Trump's lookalike. Yeah, I think Trump's got a lot of lookalikes, yeah. Just like Biden does. And we haven't seen the real Biden. I think Biden's dead. I mean, they did, during the inauguration, I believe they did Biden's funeral when they went over to the 21-gun salute by three cannons, which is basically, a dead man salute. So I think that Biden basically went, or the look Biden looked like in all the other presidents and whatever that showed up. We're basically at the funeral of Biden, right? And then Trump went out with a four cannon, the old guard, perfect in every way, military salute. So it's gonna play out how it plays out, right? So it's gonna be very interesting going forward. Just guys, give you guys a heads up. I don't know how this ends. A lot of people think that the military is gonna take down this government. I don't see it. I don't see it. And not that that's something that they might be in the process of doing in certain ways, but as far as like a full-on coup, maybe in the background type thing, if someone has done treasonous events and so forth, then they can do a military tribunal in the background. So I think that some of that's going on. All right, guys. So, yeah, Derek's been to Mar-a-Lago four times in the last year and a half. So, yes, let that sink in, folks, because obviously he's probably more involved in a positive way than other people. So, yeah, I don't think Derek Johnson's fate. So there's what's 11? Yeah, 11. You're a little bit out of line there. So bye bye. So, you know, some people are going to come in and they're paid, or they just have extreme views. I think most of them at this point are part of the problem if they're coming in and making comments like that. Yes, you're welcome. So, and, you know, you can have your comments. Like, you know, he's been to Mar-a-Lago four times. Yeah, that's true. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. Maybe that's, I don't know if you mean that negatively, but you know, you can take it positively too. So, anyway. All right, guys. That's all I got for you now. Hopefully, that gives you some thinking material. I'm not trying to like say that it's, you know, all negative. There's always the path that we alert each other enough to this that basically we can get together and take it down before it gets too crazy. Right. But it seems to be moving in that direction, unfortunately, and that might be, a bigger picture, instead of a civil war, then, we're going to see, unfortunately, some cities go down in a burning ring of fire, Johnny Cash would say. Okay, guys, lots of love, and I will see you guys next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Unleashing Intuition Secrets, the podcast. Until next time, stay in the love vibration as you continue your journey to become the master of your reality.